is the old. Good morning, man. Kermit Edney with program number 150 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years here, the WHKP years since 1946. We follow the same format as that used by the great Frank Fitzsimmons, so we call it simply Where Fitz Left Off. Let's call back through the years today when America's biggest concern was not the red cockaded woodpecker or the spotted owl or the clear cutting of forests or of even stream sedimentation. It was where to go and what to do in case of a nuclear attack. Recently, somebody handed to me a yellowed copy of a special section included with the regular edition of the Asheville Citizen Times, and it was dated February 1st, 1970. That's about half of the 50-year period. In huge red headlines, the tabloid screamed at you, "Shelter Plan," and in huge, bold, black letters, "Where to go, what to do in case of a nuclear attack." There was a map that took up a half page with various shades of gray and red and pink, identifying the location of the fallout shelter to head for you if you were at home or at work. Inside the tabloid, more maps showing where to go if you lived in the craggy Elk Mountain section in Weaverville and West Asheville. All the maps were purely for Buncombe County. There were no shelters listed for any other areas of western North Carolina. It was sort of do your own thing. But I remember vividly meetings that were held in the Hendersonville High School auditorium with experts from Oak Ridge, Tennessee, scaring the daylights out of about everybody. See, in 1970, Khrushchev was at his saber-rattling best, and so very little was actually known about nuclear explosions, other than the devastation that had rained on Japan to bring an end to World War II. And even today, 50 years later, we're still learning what nuclear fallout does do and what it does not do. Folks who lived here in the 70s and 80s may remember the multi-story radio station building we constructed that stood on the hill overlooking Four Seasons Boulevard. That building was designed and built during the paranoia that gripped the entire nation with the haunting fear of a nuclear attack. In fact, I remember when we built that building, one big challenge given to our architect, Emory Jackson, was to design a below-ground studio that would withstand a direct hit within the greater Hendersonville area and would provide protection for our operating personnel from whatever fallout might occur as a result of the explosion. Well, Emory enhanced his knowledge with new manuals available, and though we had already designed 2-inch solid doors at the entrance to the emergency broadcast area, we learned we didn't really need a door of any kind. The deadly rays from a nuclear explosion travel in straight lines. They don't turn corners. 2 feet of mass, any mass, including just plain dirt or Sears and Roebuck catalogs, gives total protection from fallout. In fact, you'd have some element of protection if you simply piled Sears catalogs on top of a card table and climbed under it. We even stocked that lower-level emergency broadcast area with Army field rations, which we picked up at Mullins, South Carolina, where there's a fairly good-sized plant that manufactures field rations for the Army. Naturally, we had jugs and jugs of water shelved for use, and we buried a fuel tank deep enough to be impervious to anything other than a close-by detonation, and this was to supply power for the equipment and the circulation system. In fact, this yellowed tabloid from the 1970 Asheville Citizen specified that a shelter should have enough food and even medicine to serve everybody in the shelter for at least 14 days before you could come out. When two of our grandsons were home for a visit, one of them is 20, the other 18 in October, and they found this tabloid to be incredulous. In spite of the fact that we hear rumors of third world nations now having nuclear capability, our government seems to be more concerned about the red cockaded woodpecker than in any sort of orientation to protective measures that are simple to implement and could spare millions of lives in the event some fool world leader should suddenly unleash just a handful of nuclear devices. In fact, you don't have to read a science fiction magazine to learn that we now have nuclear weapons so sophisticated they do minor physical damage but are capable of total obliteration of human life. And we go about our merry way picketing to save a hoot owl and forget trying to educate the people that there is a greater proliferation of nuclear power on Earth today than ever in history. And we still don't know how to eradicate something as simple as that malfunctioning nuclear power generator plant in Russia. On a final footnote to our WHKP bomb shelter experience, when we tore down that multi-story building to make way for this new broadcast house, it was interesting to watch the giant bulldozers as they had bounced off what folks kiddingly called Kermit's bunker, which served from the day we felt it vital to be prepared to continue broadcasting even after a nuclear attack. In fact, after seeing the incredulity on the face of these two grandsons, I described to them the WHKP shelter. I'm really sort of sorry I ever made such a foolhardy statement, because now they doubt about anything I say. Another memory of this seventh child, lucky enough been born here, the good sense never to leave, and with a job he's loved all of his life. Sort some quarters, we approach the next 50 years.